it's another glorious Sunday afternoon here in Appalachia, and it's time once again for Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis, and today we're going to do something a little different, given that it's our pledge drive, our fall on-air fundraiser. We're going to, instead of talking with someone live, we're going to listen to some guys who've been gone a really long time. In some cases, very long indeed, like Walt Whitman, William Carlos Williams, T.S. Eliot, folks like that, folks who were like at the foundations of American poetry. So let's start off with a bit of Walt.
America, center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and good, grown, ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
That was Walt Whitman, none other than one of the foundation, really, of American poetry, as Pound said, we all spring out of Whitman. So now we'll do some others, including some people who followed Whitman and picked up on one particular aspect of his work, his characterizations, as well as, of course, as his open forms. Though these guys both, we're going to hear some Edgar Lee Masters and then some Robert Frost. They both tended to work in received forms, traditional European forms or variations thereof. Frost, you know, you could trace what Frost did back to Herrick, I guess, or further back. But anyway, here's a couple more early masters. This is, in fact, Edgar Lee Masters and Robert Frost.
Lucinda Matlock. I went to the dances at Chandlerville and played snap-out at Winchester. One time we changed partners, driving home in the moonlight of middle June. And then I found Davis. We were married and lived together for 70 years, enjoying working, raising the 12 children, 8 of whom we lost ere I had reached the age of 60. I spun, I wove, I kept the house, I nursed the sick. I made the garden and for holiday rambled over the fields, or sang the larks and by Spoon River, gathering many a shell and many a flower and medicinal weed. Shouting to the wooded hills, singing to the green valleys. At 96 I had lived enough, that is all, and passed to a sweet repose. What is this I hear of sorrow and weariness, anger, discontent, and drooping hopes? Degenerate sons and daughters, life is too strong for you. It takes life to love life. Emily Sparks from Spoon River Anthology. Where is my boy, in what far part of the world? The boy I love best of all in the school. I, the teacher, the old maid, the virgin heart, who made them all my children. Did I know my boy aright, thinking of him as spirit of flame, active, ever aspiring? Oh, boy, boy, for whom I prayed and prayed. In many a watchful hour at night, do you remember the letter I wrote you of the beautiful love of Christ? And whether you ever took it or not, my boy, wherever you are, work for your soul's sake, that all of the clay of you, all of the dross of you, may yield to the fire of you, till the fire is nothing but light. Nothing but light.
Yeah, that was Edgar Lee Masters reading from Spoon River Anthology, one of the great early popular successes in poetry. Sold, lots of copies for its day, and of course now is taught, or at least was taught, don't know if it still is or not, in high schools and colleges around the country and around the world. Now for some Robert Frost.
Stopping by woods on a snowy evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near between the woods and frozen lake the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds, the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
All the difference indeed. That's another poet who had really wide public acceptance in his day, Robert Frost. There was a time when most literate Americans had a copy of his collected poems, or at least one of his volumes, on their bookshelves. If you're an old codger like me, you remember when he read at the inauguration of President John Kennedy in 1960. That was the first time a poet had read at the inauguration of a president, I believe, and it's been done, of course, several times since. This is a special edition of Wordplay. You're listening to Wordplay on WPVM 103.5 LPFM on your radio dial and online at WPVM.org. Joining me today in the studio is another PVM host who has this wonderful program that precedes Wordplay called Pathways to the Sacred, and it's Josh Jordan.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
Good to have you here, Josh.
It is day three of our fall on-air fundraiser, and we need your help. Give us a call at 258-0085 in the 828 area code, and make a donation to WPVM, because what keeps Pathways to the Sacred on the air, what keeps Wordplay on the air, and all the great programs that you love and have come to rely on is your donation, is support from you. So we need you to give us a call right now and help us out and ensure that Jeff and Wordplay will continue to be on the air for the months and years to come.
Indeed, indeed. This has really been a wonderful experience working here at PVM, doing this show. We're in our third year now, and we know that there are like hundreds of folks out there who listen. A lot of them listen online. If they want to participate too in our fundraiser, they can just go to our website and hit the donate button.
Absolutely.
Which is works just fine.
It's a very quick, very easy process.
Indeed, indeed. This is real community radio. This is grassroots radio, if you will. All of our programming, or almost all of our programming, is locally produced, and there are some wonderful talents working on the air here. Josh being a prime example. His Pathways to the Sacred has been a real eye opener for me. I've heard interviews, conversations with religious leaders in and out of the mainstream, and learned a lot about a lot of faiths, a lot of faith traditions.
Oh, I appreciate that, Jeff.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah. You on that.
So keep us on the air. Let us do what we do and love doing by calling 258-0085 or going online to WPVM.org and making your donation. Jeff, I got to tell you, I'm floored at hearing the voices of these masters, just hearing their actual voices. You know, I've read their poems. I've seen their grainy black and white photographs with their bad haircuts and their now defunct ties and jackets and things like that. But to hear their voices.
Long, scruffy beards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm amazed and instantly making a connection that I don't think I would have made before.
It's amazing what the voice does, how much the voice carries. And to hear Whitman actually reading his work, and even though the technical quality is not, I mean, it's not as clear as digital sound.
Sure.
It was recorded actually by Thomas Edison on wax cylinders. He also went to England and recorded Tennyson. We played that Tennyson recording before, again, on wax cylinders. But however crude the technology, We've got the voice.
We've got the voice. And the magic of a master reading his own words is absolutely incredible. This is the type of programming that you won't get anywhere else. Wordplay is the type of program that I don't think exists anywhere else that I can think of. Yeah. I can't think of any other program like Wordplay. To have it here in Asheville and to have Jeff doing this every week is truly a gift. It's truly a blessing. And we need to support that as a community and as an individual. Give us a call, 258-0085, or online at wpvm.org.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks so much, Josh. That's Al Pettaway doing Felicia's Wish from his 1994 CD, Whispering Stones. Now let's hear some more poetry. Another side of the American tradition grew out of Whitman's work as well, and that was this side that we might call today experimental. People who were doing unusual things. Whitman, of course, was a great experimenter himself. He blew away the, you know, formal traditions in his own work of English poetry or in American poetry as they had existed up to that point. He wrote in long lines with unusual rhythmic patterns. And so other poets picked up on that. Other poets saw Whitman's work as a door opening into experimentation with poetic form. One of those, of course, was Gertrude Stein, not usually thought of as a poet, more often thought of as a prose writer, but a woman who's had tremendous influence on poets. So let me find some Gertrude Stein.
If I told him a completed portrait of Picasso, if I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would he like it? If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Now, not now, and now, now, exactly as kings, feeling full for it, exactitude as kings, so to beseech you as full as for it, exactly or as kings, shutters shut and open, so do queens, shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters shut, and so shutters shut, and so, And so shutters shut, and so and also, and also and so and so and also. Exact resemblance to exact resemblance, the exact resemblance as exact as a resemblance. Exactly as resembling, exactly in resemblance, exactly a resemblance, exactly and resemblance. For this is so because. Now actively repeat it all, now actively repeat it all, now actively repeat it all. Have, hold, and hear actively repeat it all. I judge, as a resemblance to him. Who comes first? Napoleon the first. Who comes to? Coming to. Who goes there? As they go, they share. Who shares all? All is as all, as yet or as yet. Now to date, now and date and the date. Who came first? Napoleon at first. Who came first? Napoleon the first. Who came first? Napoleon first. Presently. Exactly do they do. First exactly. Exactly do they do too. First exactly and first exactly. Exactly do they do, and first exactly and exactly, and do they do, at first exactly, and do they do, the first exactly. And do they do, the first exactly, at first exactly, first as exactly, at first as exactly, presently, as presently. He, and he, and as he. He is, and as he is, and as he is, and he is. He is, and as he, and as he is, and he, and he. Can curls quote quotable, as presently, as exactitude, as trains, presently, proportions, presently, as proportions, as presently. Father and father, was the king or room, father and weather. Was there, what was there, whether and in there, as even say so, one I land, two I land, three the land, two I land, one I land, two I land, as a so, they cannot, a note, they cannot, afloat, they cannot, they dote, they cannot, they as denote, miracles play fairly well, a well, as or as presently. Let me recite what history teaches.
Indeed, history teaches. That's Gertrude Stein reading, If I Told Him, a completed portrait of Picasso. Now let's look at another side of the tradition that came out of Whitman's work and hear a little bit of Carl Sandburg, who of course, has local connections. He, after his early years of living in Chicago, writing about the stockyards and, you know, the great proletarian or worker culture of Chicago, Carl Sandburg actually moved to Flat Rock, bought a lot of goats, and had a farm, Connemara. So this is a poem number 90 from his collection, The People, Yes. Carl Sandburg, coming up.
Out of the people, yes, perhaps I could offer a passage that consists entirely of proverbs, some of them older than the alphabet, others as recent, as modern as the oxygen tent, the bombing plane, the vacuum cleaner, the CIO, the sit-down strike, and the mediation board. The people, yes. The people pause for breath, for wounds and bruises to heal, for food again, after war, after famine. The people is a monolith, a mover, a dirt farmer, a desperate hoper. The prize liar comes saying, I know how, listen to me, I'll bring you through. The guesser comes saying, the way is long and hard, and maybe what I offer will work out. The people choose, and the people's choice, more often than not, is one more washout. Yet the strong man, the priceless one who wants nothing for himself and has his roots among his people, comes often enough, for the people to know him and to win through into games beyond later losing. Comes often enough so the people can look back and say, we have come far, and we will go farther yet. The people is a trunk of patience, a monolith. What is history but a few big names plus people? What is a big name unless the people love it or hate it for what it did to them or for them while it was in the going? And this big name means pretense and plunder, ashes and dung. What another is armfuls of roses enshrined beyond speech. You may call spirits from the vasty deep. Aye, you may, but will they come when you call them? You may sell an idea to the people and sit back satisfied you have them your way, but will they stay sold on the idea? Will they be easy to hold in line unless the idea has a promise of roots twisted deep in the heart of man, being brought into play as though justice between man and man may yet breeze across the world with sea smells and a very old, a very plain homemade cry. Why didn't we think of this before?
Why didn't we think of this before? Indeed, always a good question. One pertinent even now. In our own era. Well, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Wordplay. I'm back in the studio with Josh Jordan and for the special fundraising, fall fundraising edition of Wordplay. We've heard some interesting folks today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm amazed by how the very first recordings, people with gruff voices just tended to read their, but this, that one was a performance. I mean, that seems.
Sandberg was by all accounts, a masterful reader of his own work. I mean, just a great, you know, performer of his work. Which not all poets are, you know.
Sure.
Right, right. But he certainly was. He had a very public voice and managed to convey a lot of energy in his public presence.
It was practically Shakespearean, just in its delivery.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully articulated. Yeah. Of course, without being too formal, still a man of the people, very much speaking for working people in his work and in his voice, but with authority and a beautiful sense of rhythm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the type of programming that I can't find anywhere else. And since Jeff, we have you here in Asheville on Wordplay, don't really need to go anywhere else.
That's right.
Unless, of course, we don't hear from you, the listener.
That's right.
And what we need to do, we come to you twice a year to ask you to help pay for the programming that you love. And I know how much you love Wordplay because you're listening to it right now. What we are asking, Jeff and I, for you to do is to go to the phone, dial 258-0085, and support WPVM and Wordplay financially. Make sure that we can turn on the equipment, that the lights still work,
And the phones ring,
and that Jeff Davis can continue to bring you Wordplay and just incredible recordings like this, and local poets to come in and read their own work. It's just incredible.
Yeah,
no other show like it that I can think of, and it's right here in Asheville. And the reason it's here in Asheville is because you have come and helped us out in the past. We're asking for your support again. Give us a call, 258-0085.
And Wordplay, of course, is just one part of the tremendous programming here on PVM. There's, of course, Josh Jordan's program, Pathways to the Sacred, which is a fabulous listen, runs right before Wordplay. So if you want to tune in an hour earlier, you'll hear some amazing conversations about the world of the spirit with Josh and his various guests. And, of course, then there are all the music programs. It's just it's been a real eye-opener, a really fantastic experience being on air here and meeting the other on-air host and getting to know some new stuff, some new music. There have been Lots of things I've heard that I've never heard anywhere else.
You
this
know,
is
yeah.
a really unique station.
I've been introduced, and I'm a person who went to music school. I'm classically trained musician.
That's
you
right.
know, so I was introduced to a lot of different types of music here on WPVM. I had my mind expanded both musically, politically. I've gotten education,
right.
artistically with your show. And doing my own show. It's really been an incredible experience, and we would love to keep doing this. We can only do that with your support. Give us a call at 258-0085 or go online to wpvm.org and make your instant and secure donation.
That's
now.
Right. If you're listening after Sunday afternoon, that would be the easiest way for you to donate and keep WPVM on the air. Well, you know, we're like any other organization. We have to have electricity. We're on the grid, man. We're really on
That's
the
right.
grid.
But, you know, there are no extras. There are no frills. We don't get paid for anything.
Oh,
there are no, you know, company cars or anything like that. This is grassroots. It's
That's
stripped
right.
down.
That's right. All volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're one paid staff person. Everything else is done on a volunteer basis. Here.
We only ask for what we absolutely need. And we are trying to raise $15,000. We'll mm-hmm. do it with your help, but we need you to call 258-0085.
Indeed. Or go online and hit the donate button for those of you who are listening after the fact here, after the fact of Sunday afternoon. So, okay. Well, thanks, Josh, very much. Now let's hear another poem. I think we've got time for one more, as long as it's a nice and quick one. So we'll go to William Carlos Williams, master of the quick poem.
The Red Wheelbarrow. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens.
Indeed, that's been one of the most, line for line, that's got to be the poem with the greatest impact in American poetry. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow, indeed. And let's listen to one more.
To Elsie. The pure products of America go crazy. Mountain folk from Kentucky, or the ribbed north end of Jersey with its isolate lakes and valleys, its deaf mutes, thieves, old names, and promiscuity between devil-may-care men who have taken to railroading out of sheer lust of adventure, and young slatterns bathed in filth from Monday to Saturday, to be tricked out that night with gods from imaginations which have no peasant traditions to give them character, but flutter and flaunt sheer rags, succumbing without emotion save dumb terror, under some hedge of chokecherry or viburnum, which they cannot express, unless it be that marriage, perhaps with a dash of Indian blood, will throw up a girl so desolate, so hemmed round with disease or murder, that she'll be rescued by an agent, reared by the state and sent out at 15 to work in some hard-pressed house in the suburbs, some doctor's family, some Elsie. Voluptuous water, expressing with broken brain the truth about us, her great ungainly hips and flopping breasts addressed to cheap jewelry and rich young men with fine eyes, as if the earth under our feet were an excrement of some sky, and we degraded prisoners destined to hunger until we eat filth, while the imagination strains after deer going by fields of goldenrod in the stifling heat of September. Somehow it seems to destroy us. It is only an isolate flex that something is given off. No one to witness and adjust. No one to drive the car.
That's Wordplay for this week. Join us again next Sunday for another program about poets, poetry, their craft and ideas.